chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding. And we pray in this order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints and the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves.
I remember what it was to be a teenager. It hasn't been that long ago. I think most of us in the room probably remember what it was like to be a teenager, don't we? For some of us, it's been a little longer than others. Things are a little bit more complicated now than they were probably in some of y'all's day. There's more stuff to mess with. We have the TV and the computer and the iPod and the iPhone and goodness, you name it. Obviously, you see all the technology that we've been trying to make work here tonight. But in all that mess, one thing that you find yourself doing, you find yourself wondering, how in the world am I supposed to please God? In all the things that we have going on, we have those that are involved in music, some singing, some band, some both. We have those that are in basketball, baseball. And on top of that, they have to do all their schoolwork. On top of that, some of them have jobs. And on top of that, they're expected to be at church twice a week, three times a week. How in the world do you find time in all of that to please God? If I were to ask you guys right now how to live a life worthy of God, what would you say? What would be your answers? Just think about that. Would they be like this? Would it be your choice to be baptized? Is that how you please God? Is it how you were baptized? Or maybe it's the things that you don't do. You know, you don't smoke, you don't drink. You don't watch the wrong kinds of shows on TV. Would it be more along the lines of being able to give all the right answers to all the hard biblical questions like abortion, gay marriage, music, which version of the Bible you're supposed to use? Is that what it really takes to live a life that's worthy of the Lord? To some people, that's all there is. It's all about what you don't do. But tonight I want to suggest to you that there's so much more to being a Christian, especially being a teenage Christian in today's world, than having all the right answers, all the answers that you've been fed since you were about this tall. I try not to remember much about school, but I do remember a little bit. English was probably my worst subject, and I remember the least about that. But one thing that I do remember is you're not supposed to use run-on sentences. You know what those are? Those are the sentences that just go on and on and on and on and on. Here in Colossians, the verse that was read, Colossians 1, 9 through 13, we find ourselves stuck in the middle of one huge sentence, if you're reading the King James Version. Some more modern versions have split it up. But if you're in that King James Version, that is a 218-word sentence. All right? I think it might be a run-on. I could be wrong. But here in the middle of this gigantic sentence, I think that we find the real answer to our question. The real answer to our question lies not so much in the outward things that we can do and not so much in having all the right answers, because let's face it, as teenagers, you all barely know what you're going to put on the next morning, right? One of the biggest decisions you have is what shoes to wear with the shirt that you happen to have on that day. At least for the girls, guys probably don't care so much. We find the answer to this question, and a lot of it we're going to focus on in verse 10 right now of this section. Verse 10. Number one, I believe that we can live a life worthy of the Lord by bearing fruit. Now, is this a weird thought to you guys? We don't use those words in our everyday language. But it's not—it's an idea that's not foreign to the Scriptures. The Scriptures talk about bearing fruit all the time. even if we don't use it all the time. If you look with me real quick, Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 17, read like this. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So even healthy trees bear good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit." How can we tell if an individual has truly allowed Christ to have an effect in their life? If they've truly allowed Christ to take hold of them on the inside? By looking at their actions. By looking at the things that they do in their lives. If you say that you're a Christian and you haven't changed your life, you might be in trouble. There might be something wrong with you. Our heart and our lives go hand in hand. Sometimes we like to separate the two and think that what goes on inside this building is completely separate from what goes on outside those doors. But you can't separate them. If you've truly given your heart to God, it's going to be visible to those that you're around each and every day. We talk about this a lot in class all the time, don't we, guys? That people should be able to tell just by watching the things that you do. They should be able to tell by the way you carry yourself, by the way that you treat other people. They should know that there's something different about you. That God has been there. That Jesus is there living inside of you. And because of that, you don't do what everybody else is out there doing. They should be able to tell by watching you when you're sitting at a red light. Are you the one that screeches to a halt there? Probably throws up your hands in disgust. Been there, done that. All right? You can ask Susanna. They should be able to tell when you're in line at Walmart if you're the one in the back just tapping your foot, waiting for somebody, the lady in front of you to go. She's got this cart full of stuff and all you want is like a stick of gum. There's so much more to being a Christian than just being inside this building. Because any idiot can walk through those doors and put a smile on their face and act like they've got it all together. What matters most is what happens to you when you walk through those doors. Do you continue that life, or do you go back to doing what everybody else is doing? John 15 and verse 4. Jesus is there, he's talking about, "I am the vine, you are the branches." He says, "You cannot bear fruit unless you are in me. Unless you remain in me, you cannot bear that fruit." We can't just go out on our own, trying to do our own thing, and expect to do good things for the Lord. We have to remain in him. And I think the second part to our answer comes in the next phrase right after that. Talks about growing in the knowledge of God. We can live a life worthy of the Lord by growing in our knowledge of him. We have to continually seek to know God better. Guys, we talked about this one just a couple weeks in class. That word godliness. That spiritual exercise. You know, the getting down on your knees and praying. Praying like you've never prayed before. And I think sometimes we get this confused with other things. So let me clarify this just a little bit. The growing in the knowledge of God, it is not the same thing as trying to learn how to get more from God. It's not the same as trying to learn how to get God to give you more stuff. And it's not the same as trying to learn more about God. Too often we find ourselves wrapped up in how to get God to answer our prayers, don't we? Say the right words, do the right things. But how would you feel if your kids only came to you when they wanted something? If that was the only time that they ever came and talked to you, would you feel loved? Would you feel wanted? I don't think so. We also fall into the trap of mistaking facts for a relationship with God. Just because we know all the facts doesn't mean that we know God. I don't know if that makes sense, but let me. Warren Wiersbe writes this. He says, "In my pastoral ministry, I've met people who have become intoxicated with studying the deeper truths of the Bible. Usually they have been given a book or introduced to some teacher's tapes. Before long, they get so smart they become dumb. The deeper truths they discover only deter them from practical Christian living. Instead of getting burning hearts of devotion to Christ, they get big heads and start creating problems in their homes and in their churches. Knowing God has absolutely nothing to do with knowing about God or knowing how to get things from God. Knowing God has everything to do with being down on your knees and working on your relationship with Him. So what can we do? As young people, what can y'all do? To live a life worthy of the Lord. In dealing with our first one, the bearing fruit, I want you guys to become more aware of the life that you lead. More aware of the things that you do and the impact that you have on the people around you. Work on being open and honest. Don't cheat people. When you're talking to people, don't tear them down. Learn how to build others up. When you see that person that's having a bad day, walk over to them and pick them up, pat them on the back, say, you know, God loves you. Be gentle and be kind in your words. It's so easy to talk down to people and to talk bad about people. Don't do that. Resist that urge. And don't keep all of your abilities to yourselves. You guys are so talented, and I get to see glimpses of that every now and then, of the things that you all can do and that you're capable of. Don't hide those. Give those over to the Lord. Give yourself over to Christ. And let Him take you and use you for His work. Let Him make you what He wants you to be. Number two, when we're talking about that getting to know God better, when you read your Bible, don't read just because it's to be a daily Bible reader. Don't read just because you'll know all the facts. Read for direction. You know, we talk about those problems that we have in our lives. The best place that you're ever going to find direction in that for those is in the Bible. Look for the answers there. When you pray, don't let your prayers become consumed with requests. You know, it's so easy to fall into that habit of, well, God, today I need you to help me with this test, and after school I need you to help me with basketball tryouts. It's so easy to fall into that and saying, God, give me this, God, give me that. Take that time and work on your relationship with Him. That's the most private time you'll ever have in your whole life, is that time when you're sitting there and you're talking to God. Be eager to consider anything that might help you get to know God better. You know, when somebody gives you that book for graduation and you look at it and you're like, eh, thanks, and you throw it aside. Don't do that. Take that book and read it. Read it for everything that it's worth. Be ready to know God better. So tonight, maybe y'all have forgotten what it is to truly be a Christian. There's so much more than, you know, just the outward things that we do. Than just the things that we normally consider as Christian, you know, the Christian thing to do. People should know we're Christians by our actions. We should always, always want to grow closer to God in everything that we do. Maybe you've let your actions get out of hand. Maybe you've let your relationship with God become merely facts on paper. I hope that's not the case. It's my prayer that if that's happened to you, that you'll turn that life around. It's my prayer that anybody who has never had a relationship with God can come to know Him on levels that you've never ever known before. Graduates, it's my prayer for you guys that you'll keep God first in everything that you do, that your lives will forever be changed, and that the knowledge will never stop growing. If there's anything that you all need tonight, I ask you to stand or come as we stand and sing.